it's time to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
...2008. The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars.
No!
Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi!
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Cad Bane is given a new destructive mission: kidnap Force-sensitive children and bring them to Mustafar for Sith training. There will be Palpatine's daycare from hell, shanking droids, and baby Jedi! Oh, baby-sized! We're talking about Children of the Force this week. How are you, Chris?
Good.
That's good.
Ready for some Jedi pampers? They have to be, like, extra strong.
Can you just imagine Jedi babies? Because, like, okay, so my niece, God love her, like, would always, like, somehow wiggle out of her diapers and just, like, run around naked. Jedi babies would just, like, throw them off themselves. Just like, phew.
Jedi babies could be murderous if they're really good, you know?
If they just, like, didn't control it, they're like, ooh, shiny things, and it's just knives, and they're throwing knives across the room.
Yeah, I saw the videos of the kids throwing, or not the videos, but it's like pictures of parents taking their children throwing tantrums over trivial things.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, I hate you, you know, think of a baby that has no control over the id. Yeah.
Suddenly, like, entire storefronts are leveled, and blows out all the glass, and, like, stabs innocent bystanders.
It would be more like that Twilight Zone episode where the kid had his whole family, under terror conditions because he could create things with his mind.
Ooh. It's the second time I've talked about Twilight Zone in 2 days.
Yeah.
So, I'm ready to get into this one. It's another Cad Bane one, so I'm excited.
Yeah, as if they haven't built Cad Bane's character into being enough of a dick.
You mean enough of a badass?
Both.
I always say you can't have good heroes without good villains. And Cad Bane is a damn good villain.
He's pretty villainy.
Yeah, he is. So, Children of the Force is the 25th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on October 9th, 2009. I think last week, I said last week's episode was 2009. I'm sorry, it was October 9th. Last week's was actually October 2nd. I realized I made that mistake last week. Anyway, it aired on October 9th, 2009. It was written by Henry Gilroy and Wendy Miracle. I'm sorry, I butchered your name. And directed by Brian Callan O'Connell. Just some extra information for you about the episode. There were plans to implement the Gampasa, a gargantuan turtle island-like creature based on the Hanuna from the Native America oral mythology, but it was cut.
That would have been pretty cool.
I know, and there's a reason. The reason I mentioned that was it comes up at some point. Okay, maybe I took out that note. I took out that note, but they were going. It was going to be on the planet of Gliansum, but they cut the planet of Gliansum, and I'll talk about that in 1 second. The first scene replays from the last episode, Cargo of Doom, but this time it focuses on the clones instead of the Jedi. However, in the earlier version, Cad Bane, disguised as Denal, passed Anakin Ahsoka as he walked out of the ship. This time, they are in different places and talking to another clone trooper instead of Admiral Yularen. On the Black Moon Station, Mace Windu rolls under a closing door, but then reaches back under and uses the Force to grab his lightsaber. This is a reference to a reoccurring gag in George Lucas's Indiana Jones film series, where Indiana Jones reaches under a closing door to grab an important item, such as his hat or whip. Dave Filoni also said in the episode featurette that, with the exception of the Gungan baby who wasn't taken, the Jedi didn't give the kids back to their parents. Filoni mentioned a cut scene that they were going to take the kids straight to a place called Gliansum because they didn't know what the Sith had done to these children. Gliansum is Kit Fisto's homeworld. I have an issue with Gliantum in a second. They also redid the location for Rhodia. Rhodia has been produced so early in the show that they wanted to redo its design and make it look better. Also, Dave Filoni had went to George Lucas about how to incorporate Mustafar and whether or not Anakin should be there that early, since that is where he begins turning into Vader. Dave's fan self wanted to argue that it was a mining planet, they probably traded goods, it had a business, people would know about it. George Lucas told him, hey, don't get hung up on the details. Use it because it's a great ending to this current story. You can either dwell on the details or accept the current story and what works. So about Gliantum, right?
Yeah.
So I was trying to figure out what this is, because I was watching the featurette, and at first, like, when he said Gliantum, it sounded like he said Glianosulum or something like that, so I didn't know what it was, so I was trying to figure out first what it was, and then wonderful Jonna Marie from Rebels Chat sent me the spelling, and I was like, cool. So then I pulled it up on Wikipedia, and there's, like, nothing on Gliantum other than the fact that it's, like, Kit Fisto's world. But Dave Filoni's specific words in the thing said that they didn't give the Jedi kids back because they were going to take them to Gliantum to get them checked out. They didn't know what the Sith did. So then when I looked on this Wikipedia page and there was, like, nothing there, I'm like, is there a Jedi temple in Gliantum we don't know about? Is there, like, a training academy that we didn't know about? And it wouldn't be such a big deal until, like, and I think I mentioned it in my first act notes, Mace Windu was like, there's a child on Gliantum. And Yoda's like, he's fallen to the dark side. And I was like, what is Gliantum? This is becoming my white whale. You should have saw me. I was just like,
giant turtle, more like it.
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, the giant turtles were going to be on Gliantum, but they cut those too. And so I was just like, the whole time, you don't know how long I spent, like, an hour just Googling everything I could find about Gliantum, which was, like, next to nothing. So, yes. It was a very long night. And Dave Filoni never got back to me, so thanks, Dave. I would still like to know your answer. I want to know why the Jedi were taking them to Gliantum.
Come on,
or
Filoni.
Why they decided not to.
God, Filoni, we give you all these great ideas, we give you all this great advice, and you don't get back to Hope.
I know. Well, his birthday is the other day. He might be on vacation.
Might have to block him on Facebook now.
No. We love you, Dave Filoni.
Double secret probation.
You know what we also love?
Oh.
Sexy time with Yoda.
Oh, I just came to the door. I was in the shower. Oh, bathrobe came open. Oh. Sorry.
Well, it's like Taylor Swift says, shake it off. Shake it off. Anyway, you want to take it away?
Here it comes. You guys know what it is.
The first step to correcting a mistake is patience. In bed.
Not the best, but not the worst. Next week's is not great.
I guess you could correct a mistake in bed. I guess it depends on what the mistake is.
Well, my mom always said one of the successes to a good marriage is never going to bed angry.
Yeah, or it could be like an accounting error or something. I don't know. Who knows? Yeah, I don't know what Yoda's going on about.
Were you accounting on a good orgasm?
Whoa! Cha-ching!
I did it. Chichikas. You gotta whip out your TI-83 for that.
Oh.
I don't even know if kids today use the TI-83s. We were just excited because we were like, wow, can do math problems for us. And then our teachers were like, you must learn how to do the math problems. And we were like, but we have a calculator.
We'll have them built into our brains by the time we're out of here. We have to learn this stupid abacus stuff.
You know, I'm not even going to lie, the Twilight Zone thing I was thinking about less than 24 hours ago was the one where it had the little bots and it kept, like, fixing him up when they saw mistakes, like, he couldn't see behind him, so he grew eyes in the back of his head, and he couldn't breathe underwater, so the little nanobots in his body grew him gills and turned him into a monster. The reason we were talking about that is because me and my dad were talking about how, like, in 5 to 10 years, like, nanobots will be able to be in our bodies and fix shit.
I was just thinking about that as I was in the corner store, and the guys behind the counter are obviously having a really spirited argument over something, and I would have loved to have had subtitles for it. And someday there'll be a nanobot that'll just, like, project subtitles on the bottom of my eyeballs so I can read any foreign languages spoken around me. That'd be awesome.
That stuff creeps me out. But you know I don't like robots.
It doesn't have to necessarily be AI. But it
I know.
Probably will be.
Let's get started with Act 1, shall we?
Sure.
Okay. Hold on. I dropped a stitch. Okay, sorry. All right, so.
Oh, it's hard being you. I know.
I know. I have to do all the reading. Well, you have to do all the Yoda voices, so I think we're about even, so. I know what that does to your voice.
Oh, it just tears your vocal cords apart. It's like being Robert Plant and singing every night.
Following the events of last episode. Sorry. Act 1. Following the events of last episode, Anakin, Ahsoka, Rex, and their men return to Anakin's cruiser, believing that bounty hunter Cad Bane was killed and that the holocron containing a list of all the Force-sensitive children was destroyed on Bane's doomed ship. Unlike how last week's episode ended with the Jedi and a grumpy Admiral Yularen, we begin this week with the clone side of things. They congratulate quote-unquote Danal for killing Bane, but quote-unquote Danal looks hurt holding his arm. He leaves the ship. Rex calls Anakin back onto the ship while Ahsoka checks in with Danal to see his injuries. Rex shows Anakin some blood on the floor, but it's not clone blood. Anakin runs off the ship just as Cad Bane, wearing Danal's armor, sucker kicks Ahsoka in the gut. Bane steals a fighter, and Yularen can't get the hyperspace rings locked down in time. Bane snatches one and escapes from the Jedi. Back on Coruscant, the Jedi Council are not happy campers trying to decide what to do. Yoda advises that they use the Force to weed out Bane's targets from thousands of children on the list. In his lair, Bane gets a new mission from Darth Sidious. Choose 4 Force-sensitive children and bring them to Mustafar as test subjects. Okay, can I say something?
Sure.
I never realized that the clone trooper that died was Danal, and he was the one in the Goldie episode that, like, was starting to question Goldie and wanted to open the door manually, but Ahsoka like, no, trust Goldie, we gotta trust Goldie. And so that was Danal, and so rest in peace, Danal.
That's the end of Danal.
You blew up.
It's good to see the Jedi finally, like, not being as... They were... The last couple episodes, they've been suckers. And this one, they get on the Cad Bane in the clone outfit thing pretty quick. He does not get much time to, you know, limp off before they figure out what's going on.
It was Rex and his men that discovered the blood.
That's true.
It wasn't even the Jedi that were just like, huh, look at this.
You're right.
It was Rex and his clones. They're like, that's not ours.
I like Yularen's lock them all down, hurry line. It's right out of Star Wars.
It was A New Hope.
Yep, to shut down all the garbage mashers on the detention level.
You know, that was in the notes for the episode originally, and I already had so many extra notes that I didn't put it in.
Jettisoned it?
Yeah, because I already had a ton of extra notes, so.
Well, it ended up on mine.
Well, while we're talking about Yularen, can we, since he spent those precious seconds questioning Anakin's order, can we say it's his fault that Bane got away in the first place?
Yeah.
Because if he would just did it automatically, Bane would have been stuck there.
You would just listen to him, yep.
So we'll just blame Yularen. This was all his fault.
Well, he was in Skywalker mode, you know, where he's just all, you know, Skywalker had just been like, hey, we just won. And Yularen's like, yeah, you call that winning? So that was the frame of mind he was in.
He was just returning to, like, he was on his way out to go to a second job as the announcer, so.
Yeah, right.
He was just like, what? I'm getting my hat and I gotta go to my second job.
His attention split. He's no good.
Danger! Cad Bane has stolen this thing. And they're like, who are you talking to? No one. No one, guys. What's up?
It's good to see Cad Bane without a hat.
Oh, and without his little respirators, too. He wasn't wearing his respirator.
Yeah, he looks a lot younger. He doesn't look as wrinkly and leathery without his hat and his respirator on.
The only thing I was kind of wondering is he's probably not the same height as the clones, so how did no one realize that he was, like, several inches shorter?
He was sort of slumping a little bit, you know?
Like the shock of running off an exploding battleship. They probably no one really noticed.
You would think.
But When he talked last week, you could tell, too, it wasn't him. It wasn't Denal. That was not Dee Bradley Baker caressing my ears in love.
It would have been funny if he did a really bad, like, Australian accent. Like, bad, like, Crocodile Dundee impression. He is actually looks a lot like Crocodile Dundee, actually, now that I think about it.
Oh, you know, he does.
He's got a little Dundee in him. It's the hat.
Oh, man.
And the ass-kickingness. But, man, yeah, but now it's like, I mean, last time they showed him as a merciless killer of Jedi. Now he's just like, Jedi, what's next? Kids, yeah. I think I'll mess with kids.
You don't get much lower than messing with kids.
No. Kids to Palpatine. That's pretty, you know.
You know, speaking of messing with kids.
Yeah.
You know, we got to see, like, you know, Boba Fett's origin and, like, how, like, him as a kid and how he became a bounty hunter. I really want to know more about, like, young Cad Bane and his past. Like, did he come from a loving family, but they were all killed? Or was he an orphan and had, like, a super hard life? Or was he just always a dick and, like, let's fuck people over for a living? Like, I really want to... We don't really know much about his background, like, how he got into this, why he is, like, who he might have family, if he doesn't have family.
I get military gone bad.
I could see that, possibly. Because, to kind of compare his race, we know from the Poe Dameron comics in Shattered Empire that Lulo, who is Poe's parents' friend, he's incredibly smart, too. He's actually the leader of his mom's squad. So he's a bit of a tactician himself and a leader. So maybe it's like a culture thing with his people.
Yeah, maybe.
So, I don't know.
Or they just had an incredibly harsh war where they, you know, developed a strong warrior class, you know?
Yeah. I just want to see more about baby Cad Bane and, like, possibly teenage angst Cad Bane.
I mean, if we're going to see him now, we're probably going to see old man Cad Bane.
I want to see old man Cad Bane.
That would be great too, yeah.
Oh, Boba Fett movie. I know we've mentioned it like 12 times. Please have Cad Bane. Please. Please.
A live action Cad Bane would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, it would be. They would have to, they would have to get the right actor though, because he's kind of tall and limber, but also like really, oh man.
Well, he could be a CG character. It's too bad because he would be ideal as a really good motion-captured CG character with Alan Rickman's voice. It would have been sweet.
They could do kind of like what they did with Ralph Fiennes for Harry Potter, where they just put the little dot just as flat on his nose, and then they could do like practical makeup.
Sure.
Because since he's blue, they often use that blue color, have that similar blue color for like blue screens and gray screens. So they probably could tamper. I don't know. I'm not a makeup artist or a CG artist or anything, but yes, I agree. But that's really all I had for Act 1. It was kind of a fast little act.
Yeah, it's just sort of a little introduction, kickstart to the story.
Yeah, I have to say, like, my Act 1 and my Act 3 are short, but my Act 2 is short.
I was just going to say, my Act 2 is fat in the middle, and then Act 1 and Act 2 are just little here and there notes.
All right, well, I need to take a drink, because there's about to be a lot of reading. All right, this is a very long act. Here we go. Act 2. Yoda, Wet Blanket Windu, Anakin, and Obi-Wan meditate with the Force. Yoda picks out Rodia as a target. Anakin picks out Naboo and sees a Gungan child. Yoda designates Anakin for that planet. Wet Blanket Windu sees a child on Gliansum, but the child has already fallen to the dark side. Obi-Wan volunteers to go save the child on Rodia. But Bane has already beaten the Jedi to Rodia. He's disguised as a Jedi and talking with the mother of Wee Dun. He wants to take the child for training, but the mother argues that she thinks that he's still too young. Bane says, "You should know there's been some Jedi imposters roaming the galaxy. They're kidnapping children. Oh no, I need to protect him." But when the mother refuses again, he relaxes her with a spinning device. Obi-Wan arrives at Rodia, and the mom is so salty to see him. She pulls a gun on Obi-Wan, but he takes it away and says that Bane was a bounty hunter. He spots Bane, but our bounty hunter is too quick and gets away. On Naboo, Ahsoka and Anakin arrive to meet Captain Typho and a Gungan captain whose name I totally missed, who is leading the operation to protect the child and her family. Ahsoka has a score to settle and leaves with the Gungan captain. Bane reaches the Gungan city and watches as Ruru Page's mom lays her down in her cradle and leaves. When Bane pulls back the blanket, it's a Tuca doll. Ahsoka busts out of the closet with her lightsaber ready. Bane disarms her and flies out the window. Anakin pounces on him from the roof and takes Bane down to awaiting Ahsoka. They put Bane in binders, and Ahsoka takes back her Padawan braid she lost last week. Ruru Page is safe. On the Republic cruiser, Bane is refusing to cooperate with Obi-Wan and Wet Blanket Windu interrogating him. Even Bane's navigation records were wiped clean. Together, Anakin, Obi-Wan, and Windu uses the Force together to make Bane talk at the risk of destroying Bane's mind. The pressure is too much, and he agrees to take them to the holocron. Windu wants to report to Palpatine, but Obi-Wan argues that this is an internal Jedi affair. But Anakin agrees that they should tell the Chancellor, and Obi-Wan volunteers him. Anakin says it could be a trap, and Windu already knows it's a trap. Anakin and Ahsoka return to Coruscant to report the arrest of Bane. Ahsoka waits outside as Anakin tells Palpatine he thinks someone more powerful than Dooku is behind the kidnappings. They don't know yet who it is. On Mustafar, Darth Sidious overlooks his new test subjects. He foresees an army of Force-talented spies in his service. He doesn't care if the children die in the process.
Don't you see Sidious as some sort of, like, reverse Mr. Rogers? Where, like, got his outfit, and then, like, when Anakin leaves, he's like, it's a beauty, and he, like, puts on his cloak and is just like, hi, children. It's like the...
Darth Rogers?
Yeah.
We're all gonna be friends here. Oh, man. Oh.
How creepy is it having Darth Sidious's hologram creeping over those little kids in their cradle?
Oh, it's so creepy. Oh, God. I actually think... Was it the section that I wrote it? Or was it a different section? I wrote that Palpatine is honestly one of the greatest villains probably in media. Just because, like, you don't really get it in the prequels, but you get a lot of it in Clone Wars because he's just sitting there under the Jedi's noses. And I don't even think at this point they know it's a Sith Lord, do they?
No.
Yes, and so he was able to, like, sway the population to win a war and to distress the Jedi, and we see him, like, being nice to Anakin and then creepy with kids. Like, he's just such a good villain.
You're also seeing, I think you're seeing Ahsoka starting to get a little, sowing some seeds of doubt with the Jedi. She does not...
Just a little bit.
She does not seem too happy in the same ways that Anakin did, but in a little differently. She's a little more ethical with hers. Anakin, like, has disdain for them because they're not effective, but she's like, I don't know if she's too into the whole mind rape of Cad Bane by the Jedi. And then when Palpatine snubs her, you could tell she's just like, oh, screw you, man.
Yeah, because, like, when it comes to that scene, like, because Ahsoka's the one that suggested, but I don't think she realized what she was suggesting.
Right, right.
And so, like, that's a real look of fear in her eyes when she realizes what they're actually doing.
And do you think maybe this might have been, like, an early inspiration for, like, where they got the Inquisitors in Rebels?
I have several notes about that as well. Like, I think so, too, because this episode... Where did I write it? It was my last note on this one. Yeah, I do think this is the beginning of the Inquisitors. Especially since Sidious says, like, he foresees an army of Force-sensitive people. And, like, I've seen a lot of fan theories, like, that's what he... Because he captures Darth Maul at the end of Season 5, and, like, a lot of people said that was the beginning. But I think it's really this. Like, he is beginning his Force-sensitive training of people... And then in the Rebels episode, Future of the Force, like, the Inquisitors are doing the same thing again. They're trying to kidnap Force-sensitive children, and it's Ahsoka who's there helping the Ghost Crew. Like, I totally think this is the beginning of the Inquisitors.
It's creepy that they need surgery, too, before they go into the dark side.
Yeah, like, I'm not quite sure. I would love to know more about the Inquisitors' process, Dave Filoni.
It's almost like you have to have some sort of physical injury. Like, Anakin had a hand cut off by the time he went into the dark side.
Yeah, but you know, we never saw under the... what was, like, under their sleeves and stuff like that. I was about to say the Seventh Sister and the Fifth Brother were never injured, but we never saw... I think it was... His name was the Seventh Brother, the Seventh Brother's
face.
But
they were sort of a different... They were still using the Force, but they were doing it from a different approach, so...
Yeah,
it's hard to say what they were, you know, if it could. It's applicable to Jedi and Sith.
But then also look at the Grand Inquisitor. He was a Jedi Temple Guard.
Yeah.
And so, like, I want to know how he got there, because he was a Temple Guard, like, and stuff. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if he joined willingly and just agreed to train people, or if and then people like the Seventh Sister and the Fifth Brother, if they were raised in this to be Inquisitors, or if they were young Padawans that got converted, or what.
I never thought of that.
Dear Dave Filoni and Pablo Hidalgo, I would literally like a detailed history of the Inquisitors and where they actually came from, and that'd be really great. Thanks. Love, Hope.
Get on that.
Please. Though I will say, we might get some more information come October, because that's when there's a book about Ahsoka's time connecting the end of Clone Wars to Rebels, and it's supposed to fill in that gap.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's an Ahsoka novel, and I'm so excited.
I'm sure you are.
I am, like, just ridiculously fucking excited for this.
So my only other note is I was pretty pretty excited. I, for one, was pretty excited to see Mustafar again.
Yeah.
I like that, like, so as soon as I saw that it was Mustafar, I'm like, okay, whatever goes down here has got to be have some sort of resonance in episode 3, you know? There's got to be something just for it to be Star Wars-y. And in the third part, we'll see how that works out.
I have a crap ton of notes. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
First and foremost, I just had to say, I've always loved the design of Rodian eyes, like little stars and everything. I always thought that Rodian eyes were, like, super cool and everything.
Yeah, they're like bug eyes, kind of, in some ways.
But with galaxies in them, they're like big shiny marbles stuck inside someone's face. I've always loved that design. I'm going to just go through my shallow notes first. I love how the Jedi leave their hyperspace rings in space. Like, what if another ship accidentally hits it? Or if an enemy ship just comes along and goes, hey, look, a Jedi hyperspace ring. Let's shoot it and wait for them.
See, I would guess, like, if you hooked up to a hyperspace ring, you would have to have, like, some passcode or, you know, something. Or the ship would have to be registered to it or something. You just couldn't, like, back up any random ship to it.
But I just always wondered, like, what if, like, a ship just accidentally hits it and destroys it? And then you're stuck because you have a broken hyperspace ring. And it just feels like a trail, like, you know, like, if they wanted, there's some, I think it was, like, the Kit Fisto and Nadar episode, I think it started off with, like, Kit Fisto, and he, like, leaves his hyperspace ring above the planet where Grievous lives.
Well, because...
And I was like, there's gotta be enemy ships coming by this planet.
Well, there's
just
this weird thing, and we were talking about it in an earlier episode, Star Wars just doesn't seem to have, sometimes they have them, but a lot of times they don't seem to have, like, sensors, you know? When the Empire Strikes Back finds the rebellion, they find it because they've actually sent a robot with a camera on it to see it, you know? They don't just, like, probe the galaxy, you know, send out, you know, radar, sonar, or whatever, and you'll hear them say, oh, well, we detected activity of this, but it's never, like, clear, you know, what it is. So it seems like there's all sorts of great technology in Star Wars, but some of it's really shitty. And sensor technology is shitty. So Jedi are just like, screw it. The only way they're going to run into it is if they bump into it. And when you think of the size of one of those hyperspace rings in the size of space, like around a planet, it would probably be pretty random to bump into one, you know? So the odds are still pretty good. And maybe it has shields on it or a cloaking device, although you don't really hear too much about cloaking devices in Star Wars either, so...
Yeah, so I've always just wondered that, like, you know, we're just going to leave our hyperspace rings everywhere. I had to have a dark side giggle when Bane tells Obi-Wan, what are you going to do, Jedi, torture me? Since he tortured Master Rapal to death last week, so it was a very low blow. I like how
and
we
you know
say...
what? The Jedi did kind of torture him.
Yeah, they did. So, God, that moment where Anakin was just like, I think he needs another. Like, that was a scary kind of Vader moment there.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to see how we continue. I love that we continue to see how smart Cad Bane is. He's a step ahead of the Jedi. He even stands up to the mind control until three of them uses the Force. That's pretty freaking metal.
And the Jedi admit, like, they're like, do we even want to try? Because he's got a strong mind, you know? So the Jedi mind trick is, you definitely, it helps to have dummies.
Yeah, but that just helps show how pretty freaking metal Bane is.
Yeah.
He stood up to three of them. It took three.
And they're three pretty kick-ass Jedi, too.
Yeah, yeah. And one's the chosen one, so.
Yep.
Okay, I gotta talk about my white whale for a second. Because I said Gleansom is becoming my white whale. So, who is this child that has fallen to the dark side on Gleansom? Will we ever see them again? Have we already met this child and we don't know it? Do they become an Inquisitor in Rebels? Is it the Nautilin baby that we see in the episode because it's the same race as Kit Fisto and that is his homeworld? Why were they going to take the children to Gleansom in this cut scene? Was it because there's a temple there or a training place that we don't know about? Like, what is Gleansom? Like, what is this child? I want to know who this child that has fallen to the dark side is. Who is it?
You think it was you think they might have been thinking of, like, developing that later on and just never did? And
I kind of think so. Because
why mention it, you know?
You know, it's one thing saying that, like, you know, like, oh, I sent a child in Gleansom, and Yoda could have been like, no, I don't see, it's not strong enough, I don't think that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But Windu kept asking about it. He was like, I see Gleansom. Are you sure it's not Gleansom? Like, he kept asking, like, are you sure it's not this child? And Yoda was like, no, that kid fell to the dark side. He's lost to us. I want to know who the child on Gleansom is.
Maybe he'll show up in Rebels.
Maybe. I just imagine.
Maybe he already has.
Now you just imagine an Inquisitor popping out and just like, hello, I'm the child of Gleansom.
Yeah, yeah.
And he just has like the flag of Gleansom emblazoned in his armor. And like when he lights up his lightsaber, it plays the Gleansom theme song. Just like, do, 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 do.
Is that the theme song?
I don't know. Like their national anthem or something. But then, of course, nobody would know because on Wikipedia, there is nothing about Gleansom on Wikipedia.
What are you trying to hide from us, Wikipedia?
I know. Someone. White whale. White whale. I'm going to just always wonder about it. And then, like, 4 years from now, when we're in, like, Rebels Season 7, it's going to show up, and I'm just going to be like, oh, he's here.
What you need to do is write a Rebels episode and send it into him about Gleansom, so that could be what the one they hire you for.
I think it's like, because what I keep thinking about is I saw an article recently about how this one writer like literally spent like 5 years trying to find who the actor was that played Ugly Naked Guy in Friends, because the actor
was
credited, and this writer spent like 5 years trying to find this actor, and she finally supposedly found him, but even then she was never like 100% like if it was the truth or not, because there was just a guy who was just claimed to be that, and she talked to him and stuff like that, and he seemed like he had like a lot of knowledge of the role and stuff like that, but even then like they just never credited this actor for it because he wants to be known as Ugly Naked Guy.
Yeah, they need to analyze. Maybe they need to get him naked and analyze it against pictures from the show.
Yeah,
see if they can find any distinguishing marks.
No, because she had pictures from like the two appearances where you kind of got to see him from the side and from behind,
right,
but you never saw his face.
But yeah, you just you get a nice high def copy of those episodes and see if you can't find a mole, you know, or a little tuft of hair that you can figure out, you know.
Oh, Gleansom might become my ugly naked guy.
It went from a white whale to a turtle to an ugly fat guy.
excuse you, ugly naked guy.
Ugly naked guy.
And I think that's what I have. The only other, you know, more about the Inquisitors and stuff, but we've already talked about that. So yeah, that was all my notes for season two, or act two.
I was going to say, that was a quick season. This
is
an action-packed
season to season three.
All right, well, I'm ready to whip to the end of this. I've got some decent notes on the end of this one.
Next week is when I really had my notes. Just so
we're
recording two episodes tonight. Yeah, we're doing a double episode tonight. So by next week, which is our next episode in like probably about 20 minutes, I have a lot of notes for. So that has nothing to do right now. Anyway, all right. So Act 3. Obi-Wan and Windu arrive with Bane to his lair in the Outer Rim. The holocron is waiting for them. Windu trips Bane's alarm and triggers the lair's defenses. In the chaos of laser beams and blaster fire, Bane hops into an escape pod and flees once again. Obi-Wan snatches up the holocron and they escape the self-destructing station just in time. Back on the Republic cruiser, Anakin and Ahsoka are looking over Bane's ship, used to steal the children. Ahsoka restates that the memory was wiped, but Anakin knows that a ship can tell more than just navigation records. Ahsoka finds a lot of volcanic ash on the ship. Anakin pulls up Bane's fuel computer to see how far he had traveled before refueling. They deduce that he probably filled up on Mustafar, but it was way out of his way since there were no children there. They're going to give it a look just in case. As the Jedi approach the facility where the kids are being kept, Sidious's droids pick up their arrival. Sidious orders for the children to be moved and turn off the gravity supports. He wants all the evidence destroyed when the building falls into the lava. Anakin and Ahsoka arrive and sense the dark side. They hear a child crying, and Ahsoka uses the Force to sense which direction to go. They bust into the darkened room and don't see the children until the evil nanny robots come at the Jedi with knives. The droids use the babies as shields as the facility starts to break apart and fall into the lava. The floor is snapping underneath them through the fight. One droid starts to fall in, and Ahsoka frees the Nautilin baby. Anakin grabs the Rodian baby and parkours his way up to the door, which is now stuck closed since the station is breaking down. Lava and losing floor space surround them, and the Jedi and the younglings are trapped. But R2-D2 is there to pop it open and save the day. They run back to their ship and fly away to safety just in time. On Coruscant, the Jedi don't know who's behind the kidnappings and Bane escape. Yoda warns the future of the Jedi is uncertain and they need to move forward cautiously. The end. They got a half win.
Imagine Yoda suggesting they move forward cautiously.
What?
Oh, that just sounds like something Yoda says over and over again. You know, just your standard Yoda line.
Move forward cautiously, we must.
You never hear Yoda go, jump in with both feet and eyes closed, we must, now!
Head first, no eyes. Who cares if it's 5 feet deep? Jump into that pool head first.
Lots of gonk droids in this episode. I spotted like 2 or 3 or 4 gonk droids just walking around.
Yeah, I've always liked those. I think they're so cute.
None of them even gonk. I like it. They're just sort of there. They didn't feel that they had to throw in a gonk just to drive it home. I like that.
Gonk.
Okay, so I figured out my parallel between Mustafar and episode 3.
Okay, what's your parallel?
And Mustafar in this one. It's easy. It's Anakin and a woman that he's close to there with 2 kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Aww.
One time, the first time it's a happy, you know, go to save the kids. The next time it's not so happy. We all know how that one ends.
Oh, yeah.
I did it. I tied it together.
Oh. And I didn't put it in my notes, but I do like that moment, like when Ahsoka asks what Mustafar is. Anakin explains that, like, they could have had a moment where Anakin was like, Mustafar, it's a dark place. But he was just like, no, Mustafar, it's a mining place, you know?
Kind of like this
place.
Anything
important. It's such an important place to fans that I like that it wasn't, like, Anakin didn't present it as a important place. He was just like, yeah, it's just a mining company.
Just another planet we're going to, yeah. Well, that's what I was thinking, you know, it probably, as far as adventures go, this was just another adventure. It would be like, yeah, I remember that happened. That was about Mustafar.
Yeah, but like I feel like that's a very smart choice on their part not to be like it's Mustafar. Cuz they could have easily done. I did have the idea of like halfway through the episode where like if Bane doesn't stop at Mustafar, just him stopping at any run-of-the-mill, like, space gas station, and he has, like, crying babies in his cockpit, and just some normal guy just looks over, and he's just like, yeah, we're on a family vacation, the little ones are a bit cranky, stop looking over here.
He's got, like, a stuffed pillow in the passenger seat with a wig on it. My wife's sleeping right now.
And he's just, like, it's full of, like, four crying babies, and he's just like, you better stop, and just shoots the guy at the gas station and walks off with the babies. or just one of those things, like, the guy just gets back in his, like, rocket ship and just locks the doors and pulls away. Like, okay. I did have that thought halfway through, and it made me laugh. I had to stop watching just because I was laughing so much. Is this, I couldn't remember, but is this Ahsoka's first time sensing the dark side in the show?
I think so.
I think so, too. I couldn't remember, but it was...
Really, how much... I don't know if we've really had much of the dark side except for the occasional appearance of Palpatine in hologram form, you know?
And the reason I'm asking, because it wasn't until season 2 that that Ezra felt the dark side in Rebels. It was season 2 of Rebels, so... I liked that kind of like little parallel that our Padawans have, both yeah. Padawans have had a lot of adventures. They're coming along and now they're starting to get a taste of what the dark side is. So I thought
it's
that
like
was
puberty.
The dark side is just pubescent teens that never grew up right. out of it.
Well, you know, when puberty sets in, they start thinking like, Obi-Wan's stupid. Maybe I want to join the dark side.
Palpatine's like, all the Jedi are always so pretty and cute, and I just look like an old, like, barn owl.
Palpatine gives me beer like I'm a grown-up, and he talks to me like I'm a grown-up. Jedi talk to me like I'm a little kid, and they won't let me have beer.
And they won't let me go sleep with my wife. Ugh. I just want to see Padme, guys. I just want to go see Padme. Obi-Wan won't let me see Padme. He says girls are dumb. I'm pretty sure, like... I don't know, like, Obi-Wan doesn't like girls or something.
Obi-Wan
and this teen walks up.
Dumb.
And girls are dumb anyway, except for Padme. She gives... I was about to say she gives me head. She gives me head. I'm so sorry.
All right, that's definitely going in the show notes for this week.
No!
Don't worry, it's like 9 weeks away before I edit this. I won't remember. Oh, yeah, I will, because I'll just be reminding myself. So
yeah, it's really good. Well, Chris, I will have to say you were totally right last week. The way to stop the Jedi is to take out R2 first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about all the movies and everything, you know. Trash compactor.
Yep. And this week, they would have probably fallen into the lava and died if not for R2.
Yeah, R2's keeping basically the whole universe together at this point.
Way to go, R2.
R2 might be the, like, Jesus of the Force, you know what I mean? He might really be the chosen one.
He's the one that really truly did bring balance to the Force.
He's the one who's been behind almost every major movement of things happening. So
that is true, because he had the map to Luke in Force Awakens.
He's the opposite of Darth Jar Jar. Jar Jar are opposing forces.
Oh my god. Now we need a thing where, like, now, like, we know why R2 or Anakin freaks out every time R2 gets stolen, because he's like, I can't win anything without R2. Because we get Ahsoka helping the Ghost Crew in the Rebels episode Future of the Force, I really love the moment she uses the Force to sense where the children are. It's like a nice nod to the future, tying her back to that Rebels episode. Yeah, I was thinking about that, because, like, she's the one that figures out which direction to get the children. And I'm sure they didn't, you know, like, know at the point that they made this episode that they're going to have Rebels and have future Ahsoka and everything. I'm pretty sure, you know, they weren't like, okay, we're in season 2 of making Clone Wars, but in 7 years from now, we're going to make a show called Rebels.
Right, right.
But then, like, when I
had no idea about that, and we'll be doing it for Disney.
Yeah, so, like, when I saw that moment when she, like, pauses for a second and like, finds the children... I really liked that, because it did remind me of the future of the Force, because she was constantly using her Force abilities to sense out children in that episode, and used it to help fight the Inquisitors to protect the children. I kind of wish we did, like, a back-to-back where we watched this episode and then watched Future of the Force from Rebels and compared the two. I kind of wish we had done that, but we're nowhere close to Rebels, so... because there's a lot of similarities.
Well, maybe in the future when we get closer to Rebels, we can actually do that. We can go back and like maybe do a few specials where we do a Rebels show and a Clone Wars show that have that refer back to each other.
The plot of Future of the Force is very similar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, like they're trying to save the children from the Inquisitors, and instead of R2 saving the day, Ahsoka shows up and saves the day. And
the title's the same except for one word. And yeah. Everybody knows. Well, at least I believe that the children are the future.
Yeah, so I mean, like, I don't know. So, I know that there's no way they could have known that they were going to do Rebels at this time, but when I rewatched that moment, it felt like a foreshadowing of maybe something in the... I do have to wonder, though, if they had been planning the Inquisitors this early on, though, because Sidious foresaw an army of Force-sensitive spies, and then he gets the Inquisitors, like, 7 years later.
Or maybe this gave them, maybe, you know, I mean... a lot of the same creative team was involved, so maybe this just gave them the idea for the Inquisitors. They were like, hey, remember when they had Palpatine hunting down kids? You know, maybe he got a few of them eventually.
Yeah, and then for some reason, we had Jedi Temple Guards.
Well, they took the holocron back, but that doesn't mean he didn't copy it or at least, you know, take down...
Well, Mace says at the end that, like, it doesn't look like it's been copied or tampered.
Yeah, but he still, if he could get the names out of them, he could have written them down. You know what I mean?
That's true. What?
How the holocron's not going to know that, I'd assume, anyway.
Paper and pencil, how absurd. I can't say anything because I've been reading Wild Space, and there's a part where Bail Organa gets a secret message, and he's like, okay, I have 5 minutes to decipher. He has it set to where, like, he has 5 minutes to decipher it, and then it'll automatically wipe the memory. That way, like, so he has to write down the message and decipher it, but he writes it down specifically on papers just so he can destroy the paper. So, that's what you just reminded me of.
Yeah,
because Organa is the best until he gets blown up. And even then, he's still the best. I love Bail. And my final note was, Yoda is right. The future of the Jedi is uncertain since we know that Order 66 is coming.
Yeah.
Which I always like moments like that when they're like, huh, I'm having trouble seeing the future of the Order.
Yeah, huh, about that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have anything else for this section, did you?
No. You ready to wrap this sucker up?
Yeah, and I have a special thing that I'm continuing from last week after our final thoughts.
Ooh.
So, what did you think of the episode as a whole, Chris?
I'm giving it, like, maybe a lower score than you would think. I'm giving it about a 7.5 because it's neat. It has a different sort of approach, but it's sort of all over the place and disjointed. In a way, you know, I really liked the Mustafar thing. I liked the idea of the kids, and it had Cad Bane, so that was really good. Maybe it's because it's some of the weaker Cad Bane episodes. I mean, he's still good in it, but it's not as focused on him, so there's not as much of him kicking ass. So,
you know,
I mean, 7.5 is a good solid score, but yeah.
I was thinking we were kind of disjointed talking about that, and I think that's really representative of the episode.
Oh, now I'm looking, yeah.
Yeah, because, like, you know, we've hopped around a lot in this episode, too, and we haven't been able to focus on, like, one thing, and I think a lot of that is that this plot is a bit disjointed. You know, Filoni was talking about that in the featurette, too. I didn't write it down, but he was saying that, like, his animators must have, like, wanted to kill him when they got the script, because this was the first time they went to more than 2 to 3 locations in an episode.
Right.
And so, like, they had to, like, do Rodia and the Gungan City and Coruscant and the Resolute and the Jedi Temple. And, like, that's actually why they cut out Gliansom, because they had, like, 5 or 6 places in it already.
They had a budget they had to stay on, too.
Yeah. And I kind of had the same thing. Like, this is another jam-packed episode. And I do kind of wish the first 5 minutes didn't need to be linked to the previous episodes to know what was going on. Or else I think it would be a fantastic standalone episode for a newcomer to watch Clone Wars. It has a lot of legacy characters. It has Palpatine is both the Chancellor and as evil Darth Sidious. You see Ahsoka shining and using her Force skills, and new Clone Wars characters like Cad Bane. If it had stood alone, I would probably have given this a possible 9 or a 10. But since you need the previous episodes, and it is very disjointed, and it does jump around a lot, I give it the same score. This was a 7.5 out of 10 for me.
For some reason, when I went over your notes before, I thought you gave it like an 8.5.
I did, but as we've been talking about it, I brought that score down as we were talking about it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I'm not crazy.
No. It was more like I started thinking, and I think the first Cad Bane episode of the season, our season 2 episode 1, I rated an 8, and I rated last week a 9, and I started thinking, I'm like, this episode wasn't as good as the first Cad Bane episode. The first Cad Bane episode is super solid, because that was the Holocron heist, where they stole the Jedi thing, and yeah, I'm pretty sure I rated that one an 8, so I brought the score down, because it's not quite as good as that one.
Yeah.
So, well, dear listeners, as always, you can leave us feedback on iTunes and rate and review our show, and we'll read it on the show. And to continue from last week, I'm pulling comments and questions from the Two True Freaks Facebook page. This comment came from our friend Aaron, who left us a note and a question for our Blue Shadow Virus episode. So Aaron left us a comment and a question for Blue Waffle Virus, and it was, I can't remember if this was discussed in the Clone Wars episode, and I haven't listened to all the way through the show yet, but we know that the clone armor is airtight and has a small oxygen supply from the Malevolence Arc. If that's true, how did the clones get infected? Then again, I haven't watched this episode for a couple years, so my memory is pretty spotty on this, if their helmets were knocked off, and if so, then I'm good. That's very true. How did they get infected?
I don't think any of them had their helmets off, like they had them off like they were relaxing or anything. So, yeah, I'm not sure.
Magic. No, I think the clones' outfits are pressurized. Because Plo Koon was saying they could only be outside in space for a very short time.
Right.
In the Malevolence Arc. They couldn't be outside for a long time. So I'm wondering if it's one of those things that they're pressurized and they only have just that little bit of oxygen within their helmet.
Right, right.
Or maybe they have different outfits for different things. We know that they have a snow outfit. And they're not in the Phase 2 armor yet. Phase 2 armor doing, because I know Rex gets a completely different armor change starting in, I think, Season 3. His armor changes and it's his Phase 2 armor. I know they don't have their armor changed yet, so honestly, Aaron, I don't know what to tell you, man.
Yeah, I don't see it, like, if they're going out in space, it's not going in the cracks of, you know, the joints of their suit or anything like that.
Yeah, that's true. So, I know under their armor they have turtlenecks.
maybe there was just bad luck and the batch of helmets they had were defective. You know, somebody at the factory was asleep and 5 or 6 of the helmets had cracks in them or something like that.
I'm effective helmets. With my first answer, magic.
Okay.
Magic is my answer. It's the once upon a time answer for everything. Magic. How did Captain Hook do this thing? Magic.
Vindy's magic virus elixir.
How is Michael Sokka so hot? Magic. Jeans. Good jeans. Anyway, so like I said, you can leave us reviews on iTunes to help rate and review and help us find the show, and we want to hear from you guys, and we'll read it on the show, and I know you'll hear it nine shows later and might have to wait like 9 weeks, but we'll read it. It'll come.
Well, we know you're glued to the headphones.
Remember,
whatever that
Yoda
means.
Says patience in bed, so yeah. Have patience in bed. We'll read it.
It's even better because by the time you hear it, you've forgotten that you even wrote it, and it's...
And then when you read it, you're just like, oh, it's me!
Yep. I forgot all about that. This is the best day of my life.
Aw, shit. Hope said my name.
She's...
And Chris could have said it too, but he already closed the document. Anyway, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me, as always, at twotruefreaks.com. And that is a place on the internet, which is a series of tubes that you can follow right to our network, which is full of all kinds of podcasts, including this one, including my Garage Sale podcast. We got Back to the Bins, which is comics, Earth Destruction Directive, which is giant robots. We have Hope Scott, Hope of All Trades, which she finally put one of them out, which
and
is now 9 weeks
ago. I'm about to I will hopefully have a new one up tonight because I'm about halfway through editing it, and it's a very fast edit.
Ooh, wow.
So, yeah, I might have it.
You might have two or three up by the time this comes out.
Hopefully. Actually, yeah, I might be finishing it up because I'm doing... We drank and binge-watched the first 9 episodes of Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, so my plan is to do one a week for the next 9 weeks. That's my plan.
So as those episodes go along, you guys get drunker and drunker? Is that
Well, we watch 3 to 4 at a time. Oh, so okay. The first episode, we were real pretty good. Second episode, as I'm recording it, I'm singing more.
Okay.
I'm singing a lot. And I do kind of somewhat, because I drank like 2 bottles of wine all by myself in one night.
Yeah.
I kind of remember at the end of it, screaming a lot, and I kind of remember just being like, "My guys, guys, the Michael Jackson song, like I kind of remember that, but I don't actually remember it. So we'll see.
Awesome. That should be fun for you to edit.
Yeah, because we watch tonight will be the episode Trust Me, and its title is going to be Trust Me, We're Getting Tipsy.
This podcasting is sort of like, well, I think there's going to be this thing coming up where, like, people go to parties and wear GoPros and get really drunk, and then the next morning they can go like, oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, I do vaguely remember that. But, yeah. It's a massive, massive podcasting network. We've got No Consoles for Old Men, which is video games. There's new ones in the hopper, which may even be out by now. And if they are, I don't know what they are right now, but they're out there. Or they're not. It's mysterious like that. What about you? Where do they find you?
Well, I was going to say you just need to check out 2 True Freaks to see if there's new ones.
That's true. Pretty much every day you should check it out.
Well, you can find us on our Twitter at JGuysAndJedi, or you can follow me personally at HopeMullinax, and you can also look at my writing at WhatTheFangirl. Yay!
That was very Kermit the Froggy, yay.
Yay!
I could see your arms just sort of waving back and forth.
But then I would
your fabric and felt arms.
My fabric and felt arms. Yeah! Oh man, one of my favorite pictures of all time was Kermit the Frog dressed up like Sweeney Todd, and he is just like, "My friends, I shall have revenge! Yeah!" It's still one of my favorite pictures to this day. I saw it like 7 years ago. Alrighty, Aphrodite. I've said it like 3 times tonight. The listeners just didn't hear the first 2. Anyway, I guess until next time, don't have disjointed episodes. And what is Glansome? And who's going to be our white whale next week? And why's it got to be white? Why can't it be a black whale and space whales? Bye.
Yo, why's it got to be a black whale?
Why can't it be a red whale?
It's a space whale.
Space whale. Well, maybe whales... Maybe they only see in black and white, so to them, everything is gray whales.
That's right. There are no races with whales. They just hate everything.
It's just varying shades of gray. And then Ezra comes along 7 years later and talks to them. They're like,
teaches them colors, and now they hate and hate and hate.
The whales will come for you. The whale. Beware of the space whales.
Good job, Ezra.
And then the island turtles have to come and save the day. Just like Aang and the island turtles and Avatar The Last Airbender, the island turtle came and gave Aang the power of spirit bending to take away bending. And Ezra will do the same. He will come and take the force away from people. I don't know what I'm doing. We should go.
Say goodnight, bye. Hope.
Bye.
Go home, Hope. You're drunk.
I'm drunk. Why does Michael suck so hot?
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at 2TrueFreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, 2 True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the 2 True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at 2TrueFreaks.com. 2 True Freaks is always spelled TWO. TRUEFREAKS.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show, too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
And this is your Uncle Don saying good night.
Good night, little kids. Good night.
We're off?
Good. Well, that ought to hold the little bastards.